I'm really excited about. You know, I really for a long time never thought it would happen. Even as I dared to dream it, I really, you know, that's not realistic, and obviously the odds are stacked against me. So to kind of be here on the cusp, really excited. It's something that obviously, you know, when it gets taken from you, you don't realize how much you're going to miss it. You know, for me to break down the last remaining kind of mental barriers that are there, that if I can go play quarterback again, even in a practice setting, certainly I don't think I'll be second guessing myself doing anything else in life.
That was Washington quarterback Alex Smith, who just yesterday practiced in pads for the first time in nearly 2 years since suffering one of the most gruesome injuries in football history. It was an injury that forced Smith and his family to consider amputating his leg in order to ensure his life wouldn't be in danger. And no one even considered the possibility of him ever playing football again. No one except Alex Smith. Today we're joined by Stefania Bell, the reporter who has chronicled Smith's recovery every step of the way, to discuss his remarkable return to the field and whether he really has a shot of playing under center this fall. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, August 19th. This is ESPN Daily. Stefania, thank you for making some time for me today, and thank you for making some room for me on your dining room table alongside what I would imagine is an even larger tower of paperwork and documents.
It's ever growing, Pablo. Pretty soon you're going to have your own notebook if we keep meeting like this.
Stefania Bell is ESPN's injury analyst, a physical therapist, and the co-host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Well, we're meeting like this because this week, the Washington football team did something truly shocking. They cleared Alex Smith for football activity, activating him off the physically unable to perform list. You chronicled Alex's recovery from a devastating compound fracture in November 2018 for the E60 documentary, Project 11. So as someone who has followed his rehabilitation as closely as anybody for nearly 2 years, did you ever think this day would come?
I thought it might come. You know, it's interesting because you described it as something shocking that the team did. And I chuckled a little bit because it wasn't shocking to me. And it wasn't shocking because I've had the privilege of watching Alex on this path for so long, as you say. And if you had asked me at the very beginning, back in the days when he was first home from the hospital, when his physical therapist was treating him in bed, and Alex's goals were to independently get to the bathroom and back, that would have been a time where I would never have imagined football would be in the picture. As I saw him continue to make progress, unbelievably overcoming hurdle after hurdle, it started to occur to me that this could really happen. And by the time Project 11 aired, I thought, he's going to shock some people, but it won't be me.
You do have an inside track on this story. You got to speak with Alex again on Monday. What was his reaction when he got the news that he could officially play football again?
I think the word he used was elated.
Hard to put into words, but elated. What I wanted, you know, this entire time, to see if I could put the cleats on, put the helmet on, and go out there and what was left.
And I could tell because I saw him smiling so much on our Zoom interview that we had. It's like a kid who just got a reward for all the hard work they put in. And for him, I think this was really important. This was a big step. He wanted to be able to get out on the practice field and see what he could do.
I really feel like I've been faced with this giant challenge in life. You know, I can't help but think that, you know, my three little kids see everything that I do. And for me, just kind of continuing to push this and see where it goes.
So the contrast, Stefania, the smiles that you're seeing now versus the depths of what this injury was actually like, because it didn't just threaten his football career, It threatened to take away his leg and at one point even his life. So, Stefania, for those who may have forgotten, can you remind us of the nature of Alex's injury and what exactly made it so dangerous and so difficult to recover from?
When he was injured on November 18th, he had a compound fracture.
Alex Smith is hurt. He's hurt bad, man. He's in a lot of pain.
These are nasty fractures. They pierce the skin. The fracture was very complex in and of itself. It was a spiral fracture. I think when people imagine fractures, they typically think of a crack in a bone, like a straight line. But it was a torsional injury, and the result of that torque up the leg was sort of a corkscrew image of the bone cracking. And it ran, the fracture did, from his ankle almost up to his knee. In terms of repairing it, it's not just a simple couple of screws and a plate. They had to work to put all these pieces back together. So the fracture was challenging. The fact that he had an open wound as a result of the fracture meant there was a potential for bacteria to be introduced into that wound. And if you picture the setting, it's a football field. It happened to be muddy and wet. There's sweat, your own plus sweat of other players. You have dirty uniforms. Sometimes there's blood on these uniforms. So all kinds of things that can then have this direct access deep into the wound. When Dr. West, the head orthopedic surgeon, head team physician for Washington, discovered the fracture was open, it became an emergency get him via ambulance to the hospital so they could, number one, clean out the wound, and then number two, repair the fracture. They thought everything had gone well for about the first 24, 48 hours. And then as it was approaching the time where they were thinking Alex might be well enough to go home and continue his recovery, he spiked a fever. That's typically the first sign that something might be amiss. Lo and behold, he had the culture that tested positive for bacterial infection, and the wound actually started to change. It looked different. And they knew that they had to go back into surgery to address the bacteria, clean it out. And over the course of the next few days, as they went back in for procedure after procedure, they had to remove more and more dead tissue that had been killed by the bacteria. It was a flesh-eating bacteria, necrotizing fasciitis.
Ooh.
And the risk is that it can travel up the limb and into the bloodstream, and that's where it has the potential to be life-threatening. They continued to fight the infections with antibiotics, and ultimately they were able to save his leg and save his life.
So this injury was so severe that Smith and his family were actively considering amputating his leg, if only to prevent an even worse outcome. I'm sure the idea of Alex ever playing football again was the farthest thing from anyone's mind, until, I guess, at one point it wasn't. When in the recovery did you first realize that Alex seriously wanted to try and return to the NFL?
As part of Alex's treatment and recovery, he was granted clearance from Secretary of Defense to travel to San Antonio Military Medical Center and be evaluated there. And the reason for this is that so many of our servicemen and women in recent years have suffered massive lower extremity trauma, IED blasts. Given that there really wasn't a comp for Alex in the sports world and more of traditional orthopedics, Dr. West reached out to the folks at San Antonio, and they were eager to see Alex, and he came down and met with all the physicians and physical therapists and orthotists, and just as importantly, some of the servicemen and women who were patients down there who had similar injuries to his. And part of the evaluation was in the gym. And he was wearing the external fixator you saw in the piece, the big cage around his leg that was helping secure the bone. And he was still somewhat tentative on it, not knowing exactly what he could do physically. And he was just getting to, you know, walking around on crutches. And Johnny Owens, who was a physical therapist who was down there facilitating a lot of this for us, was taking Alex through some different exercises. And at one point, he had him down in a half-kneeling position.
Ease into it, man.
Okay, sit.
Just barely move.
Woo. And he just tossed him a football.
Same thing.
Everything's stable here.
And Alex got the football in his hands, and it was like he looked puzzled for a moment, like he didn't know quite what to do. And Johnny said, you can throw it.
Yeah, you can throw it.
And Alex kind of looked at it for a second and then threw it.
First throwing.
First throw since November 18th.
And as he started to go back and forth tossing the ball, you could see his face light up. And it was interesting because as he left the facility and flew back to Washington, he was traveling with his wife and Dr. West. He asked her then, "So what do you think about me returning to football?"
At that point, what did the doctors think?
You know, there's a real credit to the medical staff here, because it would have been easy to say, you know, be happy with what you have and let's just focus on this, or trying to discourage him maybe from wanting to play. I mean, this is not an everyday injury, and certainly not in the world of professional sports. But really good medical providers know that patients need goals to help motivate them. And you really have to allow them to pursue what they think is an attainable goal. Allowing them the opportunity to walk through that experience is really critical to them getting better.
Coming up, how Alex went about chasing down that seemingly impossible goal, and whether or not he has a real chance to play this year.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way, or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Alex, in his mind, has these goals. He's privately working towards a comeback. It feels possible. And then this spring, he and his family go on vacation to Hawaii. So when the coronavirus pandemic hits, the Smith family finds itself quarantined. And how does all that impact Alex's rehab?
It's interesting. He's such a driven and competitive individual that he will find ways to work no matter where he is. In Hawaii, they travel there fairly regularly. He had a good setup to work out. He incorporated his kids into his workout regimen, which is terrific, because one of his goals really was to get back to being able to play with his kids. So he would turn some of these drills he was working on into games with his children and his wife, and they would go out and function, you know, basically as stand-ins for football players, not necessarily the right size, but, you know, serviceable. So it really was not a problem for him to be there while he was continuing to get ready for the season.
So eventually, Mr. Smith does go to Washington. And Alex, he picks up his rehab back at the team facility. So what were the team's expectations for Alex from a purely football perspective?
It's hard to know. It's a new regime here. Lots happened since Alex last played football for Washington. There's a new head coach. There's a lot of change in the organization. And I don't pretend to know what the expectations for this new group was with Alex coming in. But I have to believe, because it would certainly be normal that they would be apprehensive. Nobody wants to see somebody get hurt again after they've been through something like that. So I imagine that perhaps nobody ever really thought Alex would be back and be in contention. Initially, there were a lot of things he had to participate in, things that the team wanted to see, just so they could get a sense of functionally where he was before you introduced down and dirty football, really.
You know, it's one thing to roll through rehearsed drills and things like that, but it's a whole nother deal, obviously, when you got 22 guys flying around, and, you know, that's the challenge. That's the next step, and working towards that.
There's still a number of things that he has to prove, and this is the test, but the only way to find out is to actually be participating in football.
So what was the process like for Alex to be medically cleared to return? Like, who had to sign off on it? And what reservations did those people have?
Well, the first thing he did was he met with his entire medical team who cared for him after this injury. That team was led by Dr. Robin West, who's the head team physician for Washington. You had Dr. Joe Alderetti, the colonel who was in charge of the San Antonio Military Medical Center. And, you know, his voice was an important one here because he's responsible for returning servicemen and women to the battlefield after injuries such as Alex's. And they got together and they looked at the imaging and they talked with Alex, and they all felt that they would be comfortable releasing him to return to anything he wanted to do in life.
It was crazy to hear that, literally from a life standpoint. They wouldn't restrict me to do anything, that I could go skiing or snowboarding tomorrow if I wanted. I could go do anything and everything and not be restricted. And certainly then on top of that, to get the green light that I could go practice, that I could be in, get contact, was pretty wild to hear. I didn't know if I'd ever hear those words.
It doesn't mean that they can offer him any guarantee that he would never be hurt again, but their job was to decide if they felt he was medically safe to return to play football, and they believed that was the case, so they signed off on it.
So, Stefania, given all of that, what are the risks for Alex in returning to football from this injury?
I think they're essentially the risks that any other football player takes when they step on the field. We forget sometimes that this is a collision sport, and everyone who chooses to step on a field and play professional football on any given Sunday is at risk for significant injury. Now, might someone with a prior injury history be at risk for certain other things? There are always consequences from a major injury because your body is never truly exactly the same as it was pre-injury. And I think the question that everyone really wants answered to feel okay about Alex is, can he do anything to that leg again? Because it's already been through so much. And the answer is, the medical team feels comfortable that he is healed to the point that he is not at any greater risk of further injury to that leg by playing football.
What did Alex tell you about his teammates' reaction to his big return?
It's funny because he's a little understated on it, but I know how much it means to him because he's such a team guy. And, you know, he said everything from the ribbing and the joking to the, hey, it's really good to see you back. They didn't know how bad his injury was until the piece aired. He was rehabbing and he was pretty private about it, as he is. So nobody really knew the severity of the injury, how bad things really got, until they saw the piece. And I think the images are so graphic because there's really no other way to appreciate just how much tissue loss he had. And for people like his teammates to see those images, and you think, there's no way this guy can walk again. And then they see him coming in and putting on a helmet and cleats. I'll tell you one thing. I don't think anybody in that room wants to complain about aches and pains of training camp when Alex Smith is around.
So speaking of the aches and pains of training camp, Alex is currently third on the depth chart with the guy that Washington drafted a couple of years ago to be their franchise quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. But they also brought in Kyle Allen, a quarterback that Ron Rivera likes and knows from his time as coach of the Panthers. So what does the football world look like for Alex Smith?
I don't know that we know the answer to that yet. A lot is going to depend on what he can physically do as he tries to go through the steps of playing that position. Ron Rivera has already said that if he was cleared, it would be a real competition.
It's been exciting to watch his progression. If he can do the things that we need him to do, that he needs to do to help himself on the football field, you know, he'll be part of the conversation most definitely.
This is not a charity thing that they've done. He earned this opportunity to compete.
So after almost 2 years of physical anguish and mental resolve and emotional investment, here comes Alex Smith. And Stefania, when you look back, why was it so important for him to endure all of this and get back to this specific point?
I think Alex knows that nobody's ever done this before. The fact that there was no roadmap for him to follow, no comparable injury scenario that someone else had been through, where he could pick up the phone and call them and find out, hey, how did you do this? He didn't have any of that. So his motivation was himself. And I think every time he saw that he could do something, he had to push that carrot out a little bit further.
I'm so thankful for everything that I have in life and where I am. And I know a lot of people probably think it's funny that I'm even pursuing this. But for me, yeah, I really feel like I need to see where this ends.
You know, Alex will say quite often to me, I just want to see how far I can go. I just need to see how far I can push this. And I don't think he could walk away with that question unanswered.
Well, Stefania, I appreciate that you provided us with a roadmap, even if Alex didn't have one at the time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, how the newest evolution of NBA player introductions bring a little reminder of life outside the bubble.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. With all due respect to 8th-seeded Orlando upsetting the top-seeded Bucks yesterday, the most magical development in the NBA bubble took place before a couple of these games even started. Like, right before they started. As an antidote to the synthetic Foley artistry of crowd noise and virtual fans, the Phoenix Suns did something I've never seen before. They handed the mic not to their baritone announcer, but to the family members of the players themselves.
At center, 6'11", in Arizona, number 22, DeAndre Ayton!
Promise, babe!
Number 11!
Ricky!
Romeo!
Toma!
At guard, 6'5", from Kentucky, number 1, Devin Booker!
But not only were Phoenix's own players moved by these videos, suddenly onions were being cut throughout the bubble as players like Toronto star Kyle Lowry applauded the surprise gesture on Twitter. And by the time the defending champion Raptors lined up for their first playoff game this week, here's what greeted them.
From Barcelona, number 33, my daddy, Marc Gasol.
From Cameroon, Pascal Siakam. Let's go, Raptors!
From Villanova,
Mr. Camusor.
From North Philly, New York City,
Camusame.
Toronto went on to blow out the Nets by 24. And to hear a grinning Kyle Lowry tell it, that was no coincidence.
I ain't gonna lie to you, they got me hyped. And, it kind of made me honest. I wanted to cry, tears of joy, but they got me going. And it was awesome. That right there shows, who we play for.
I don't know if the NBA is going to continue this tradition. It may wind up a relic left behind in the bubble, like so many disposable masks. But the whole idea felt special to me, because it reminded me not of the anguish of this pandemic, but of its intimacy. No, we're not NBA players getting paid to play basketball inside a literal amusement park. But if you're anything like me, a person who waited months to hug their parents and brother and sister and 5-year-old niece, you saw a little bit of yourself in these intros. You saw how your family might grow closer, even as you remain apart. I'm Pablo Torre.
This has been ESPN Daily. She'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Mia.
You're welcome, Tio Pablo.